We have taken several weeks off as we've celebrated Christmas and kind of taken a break from our study through the book of Acts to do that. And we are getting back to that study now, Acts chapter 17. And before we get to our text tonight, just want to remind you the first part of chapter 17, we find the missionaries in Thessalonica. And as his manner was, Paul goes into the synagogue of the Jews. He preaches the gospel there. And some of them believed, and some of the devout Greeks believed, and chief women. But you'll remember how the Jews that didn't believe stirred everybody up and basically ran them out of town. They had to leave the town because of the trouble. I mentioned to you, it's interesting as you study the book of Acts, how sometimes when the mobs came and the trouble came, the missionaries would sneak out of town and they'd go on to somewhere else. Sometimes it seemed like they just kind of hung around to try to get caught. And it's an interesting thing to me. Sometimes they would stay and sometimes they would run away. And how did they know when to do that? And I believe that these were men who were led of the Holy Spirit of God. And when it was time to stand up and take a stand, they did that. And when it was time to get out of town and take the gospel somewhere else, they did that. You can't accuse them of being afraid, though. There's no question that they weren't afraid. When the Apostle Paul was stoned and left for dead outside the gates of the city of Derbe, he got up and went right back into that same city. Listen, they weren't afraid. They weren't afraid of the mobs. They weren't afraid of the crowd. They weren't afraid to stand up and preach the gospel no matter what anybody thought. So they didn't run away because they were scared, but they did get away so that they could preach the gospel somewhere else. God wanted them to take the gospel to other places. And so what do? Well, when we have opportunity to share the gospel, we ought to share the gospel, even if it's going to cause some conflict or some trouble. And there may be times that you create a conflict that you need to take a stand and go ahead and take a stand and not necessarily argue with someone or fight with someone, but fight for the truth and stand for the truth. And there may be other times where you just need to walk away and go take the gospel to somebody else. And the only way we know how to do that right is if we are led by the Spirit of God. And I'll help you out. I get it wrong a lot, but the Holy Spirit lets me know when I get it wrong. You know, there's been times that I feel like I should have stayed and fought, and I walked away, and as soon as I walked away, I knew I shouldn't have walked away. And there have been other times I've stayed and fought when I was probably just arguing for the sake of my own pride, and the Lord convicted me of that too. And so we've got to learn. We've got to go through this process, and we've got to learn how to be led of the Spirit. But when the trouble came there at Thessalonica, they got away and they go to a place named Berea. And so if you're able, let's find Acts 17 verse 10 and stand together for the reading of the Word of God tonight. And I'm so thankful for all of you that are here tonight. We see several that aren't here. There's a lot of sickness going around. A lot of folks aren't feeling well. We need to pray for them. But I'm so thankful for you who are able and willing to be here. I pray God will convict our hearts through His Word tonight and just equip us to be better witnesses for Him. Acts 17 and verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the word. Please help us to hear it, to receive the word tonight. And Lord, daily to search the scriptures that we might believe, that we might follow and obey, and that we might bring you glory as we strive to be obedient to your word. Please forgive our sin tonight. And Lord, I pray that tonight will have an impact on our lives, that your word would convict us and change us, and that we will go from here better equipped to serve you, our hearts purified and made right through the word, and that we would go away rejoicing and looking for opportunities to share the gospel with others. Please bless now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So immediately, when all the trouble came at Thessalonica, they got sent away, and they sent them to Berea by night. And so this is kind of a big deal in verse 10 when you see they traveled by night. That wasn't typical. Most of the time when somebody traveled in those days, you traveled during the daylight hours. And then you, when you were coming up on a town and it was starting to get dark, you would stay there. You would find a place. And in those days, there were some inns, but a lot of times you came in, and if somebody saw a stranger wandering around town, they would invite you in. We see that in the scriptures many times where that's just what happened. And so they would, it's not typical to travel at night. It's not like today, you got headlights on your car and you can get on the interstate and go 80 miles an hour wherever you want to go. You got street lights in town. You can get around wherever you want to go. And most of you got flashlights in your pocket or in your car or on your phone. It wasn't like that in those days, and you just didn't travel at night. It was dangerous to do that. But these got away, and they went away by night. So we see that they flee to a place called Berea. And when they get there, you'll find that they, when they got there, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. So when they get to town, they find the synagogue of the Jews, and they go to that place. And I think this is awesome. If you get between verse 10 and verse 11, some things happen there that you just have to understand by their response. In verse 11, the Bible says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness in mind." So they flee to Berea, but the second thing we notice is they faithfully preach the word of God. Well, how do you know they preach the word of God? It doesn't say anywhere in there that they preach the word of God. But it does say that the people there received the word. How did they receive it? Because Paul and Silas and the other missionaries stood up in the synagogue and they preached the word of God. I think this is really awesome, and let me tell you why. It goes without saying that they preached the gospel. You didn't have to say it. It's what they did. You know what my heart's desire for myself and everybody in this room is? That it goes without saying, when you meet somebody, you preach the gospel to them. A lot of times, some of you might have to have somebody come to your house. Maybe your furnace breaks down, and if your furnace stops working this week, you're probably going to call somebody. Amen. I'm going to call Brother Kevin. That's what I do. Amen. That's what I do. And it's been awesome. The furnace breaks down. Maybe you got to call somebody for whatever it is. And they come to your house. And maybe you're telling me about it later. It ought not be that if Brother Ryan has to have somebody come out to his house to fix something, that I say, "Hey, Brother Ryan, did you share the gospel with them?" My question to him ought to be, "Hey, Brother Ryan, did they get saved?" I don't even have to wonder whether or not he preached the gospel to him. I shouldn't have to wonder whether he gave him a gospel tract and tried to preach the gospel to him. My question ought to be for him, how did they respond? It ought to be automatic that every person at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, when you meet somebody new, they hear the gospel from you. Ought to be automatic. See, it goes without saying. It never says in verse 10 or 11 that they preached the gospel, but we find in verse 11 that they did preach the gospel, because we see their response to the preaching of the word of God. And that's so awesome. They were faithful to preach the word of God. And Lord, help each and every one of us to be faithful to preach the word of God. Do you know why we make gospel tracts such a big deal here at Calvary? Because this is one of the easiest ways for you and I to give the gospel to somebody else. And I can't tell you how many times I'll have somebody come out, or I'll meet somebody at the house to talk about whatever, and I'll give them a tract, and they'll say, "Well, what is it?" "Well, it's a gospel tract." And I can tell them what it is and preach the gospel to them just because they ask me, "What is it?" And we've got so many of these, and we try to keep them printed up and out there, and we try to make them nice, so it's something that you're happy to give away to other people. But it ought to be an automatic thing. It ought to go without saying that you and I would give the gospel to anybody we meet. Ought to go without saying. They were faithful to preach the word. So who, coming thither, went to the synagogue of the Jews? The Bible simply says in verse 11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica." This word "noble" is an interesting word. It has the idea of just of being high-born, basically. It's somebody of a noble birth. And it's kind of an interesting word. If you'll look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. I want you to see this. This word "noble" is not used very many times in Scripture. And we're going to find that this word can be used in a couple of different ways. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And that's our word noble. Verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's good stuff, isn't it? Amen. We could preach for another hour and a half just on that passage, but I want you to get this. In here in our text in Acts 17, it says they were more noble. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, not very many noble are called. But there's kind of a play on words here. Because when he says in 1 Corinthians 1, not many noble are called, he's talking about people of a high birth, people of nobility, people of wealth and position and power. And he said there's not very many of them that are called. Why? Because they don't hear the call. They've got everything they need. They're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And so they often reject the gospel. A lot of times, poor people are quicker to hear the gospel because they know they need God's help. But there's a play on words, because you'll find in Acts chapter 17, when he says they were more noble, he is not talking about their status in life. But he explains to us what he means. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. You see, there's a nobility that the world has. People who were born with position, with power, with wealth, that's the world's nobility. There's a different kind of nobility that was found in those believers at Berea. And it had nothing to do with their wealth or their status. It had to do with their readiness to receive the word of God. That's the kind of nobility that we ought to strive to have. Where it doesn't matter what kind of money you've got, or what kind of wealth you have, or position, or power, or influence in the world. But it has to do with what your heart and mind is towards the Lord. That's the kind of nobility we ought to strive for. They faithfully preached the word. And there was a nobility of the people there. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Because in Thessalonica, they weren't really interested in the word. But the people at Berea were. Notice that they received the word. They received the word. That's exactly what it means, that something was offered to them and they took it. They received it. The gospel was presented to them and they took it. They received it. They heard it. They believed it. And so they took in the word of God. And notice how they did it. They did it with all readiness of mind. In other words, when they showed up at synagogue and somebody stood up and opened the word of God and presented the gospel and preached the word to them, they were ready to hear it. Friends, this is huge, and this will change everything about your life when you come to church. When you come here with a readiness of mind to hear and to receive the word of God, it'll change what happens to you when you come to church. I mean, how many times do we come? People come to church, they want to be entertained. People come to church because they feel like they have to, and they'll feel guilty if they don't. People come to church because their wife won't quit nagging them, and they just go to shut her up. I'm sorry, that doesn't happen here? Okay, good. People go to church for all kinds of reasons. But I'm telling you, when we come here, we ought to come with a readiness to hear and receive the Word of God. You know what ought to happen at home? We just started the new year, and everybody should have gotten. There's still some on the table if you didn't get one. We've got our Bible reading plans out there on the table, and there's scriptures to read every day of the year. We're already a few days in. You ought to be in. And if you didn't start yet, it's not too late. You can get started reading the Scriptures every single day. You know what we ought to do when we open up our Bible to read it every day? We ought to have a readiness of mind to receive the things of God from our Bible reading. Amen. And so they had a readiness of mind. They received the Word. It didn't just fall on deaf ears. It didn't just go over their heads. They were ready to get the Word. And that's what we need to be, ready to hear and to learn from God. Not only that, they researched the gospel. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Well, what was it that Paul and Silas and the others were preaching? Well, they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They didn't have the New Testament. It wasn't written yet. What did they have? They had the Old Testament. And they would open the scroll and they would read a portion of Scripture from the Old Testament, and they would take that Scripture and they would preach Jesus. I could just imagine them opening up Psalm 22 and preaching about Christ and Him crucified. Can't you? Opening up Isaiah and reading a portion from Isaiah 53 and talking about Jesus and how He took our sorrows and our chastisement on Himself. I mean, they were opening up the Scriptures, they were preaching, and these believers, they received it. And then they searched the Scriptures. They researched the gospel. They said, I've never heard anything like this before. And so they got in the Word of God and they searched it out to see whether what Paul and Silas were preaching was really what the Word of God said. Hey, can I just encourage you? You ought to do that. I meet a lot of people in our community who go to church and have very, very little understanding of the Scriptures. Now listen, I'm not trying to elevate myself like I know it all, because I know nothing. And the more I know, the more I realize I know nothing. But I meet people in our community who have been in church for 30 and 40 years who know nothing of the basics of the gospel. Why? Because they weren't like the Berean believers. Because they go and sit at church on Sunday morning, they have a worship experience, they listen to a guy give a pep talk or whatever for 20 minutes, and then they go home and they never open their Bible on their own. Can I just encourage you, don't take my word for it. If what you believe from the Word of God only comes because Brother Isaac said so or Brother Crawford said so, you're in trouble. We've got to study the Word of God. Don't ever take my word for it. I want you to prepare yourselves. I don't know how some of you take this. I've been wrong before. You okay, Brother Roger? I know that's shocking for you. I've been wrong before. I would never stand in this pulpit and preach something wrong from the Scriptures on purpose. I would never do that. But I make mistakes. Sometimes I just get things wrong. And sometimes I just say the wrong thing, not on purpose. And some of you are laughing because you're remembering some of those things. I appreciate you that love me enough to tell me later. Right? It wasn't really Daniel in the fiery furnace. No matter how many times you say it, Brother Isaac, it wasn't Daniel. Brother Darrell has been going back listening to old messages when he drives to work, and he texts me the other day a quote from some crazy preacher. What kind of preaching is this? In quotation marks. And at the bottom it said Isaac Slate, like May 23rd, 2015 or whatever it was. And it was awful. It was awful. And I didn't do it on purpose. I make mistakes. And if you're not studying on your own, you may not realize. See, a lot of you, you know the Scriptures because you do study. And when I say something stupid, you go, he didn't mean to say that. He didn't mean to say that. And you know. But there are some who don't study and they don't know. And they might go away believing that just because I said it. Lord, help anybody that goes away believing something just because I said it. No, we've got to get in the Word of God. And they search the Scriptures. Hey, listen to this. The word search literally means to scrutinize. That word, to scrutinize, we don't like that word. That's a negative word. To look at what somebody's doing with scrutiny is to really examine it. But that's exactly what they did. When they searched the Scriptures, they investigated it. They examined it. They were looking for the evidence. They were listening to what he said. They were examining that and searching the scriptures and scrutinizing what they said against the word of God and seeing if it was so, if that was really true. And friends, that's exactly what we ought to do. Every week, in and out, we ought to do that. They received the word, they researched the gospel, and they responded in faith. I want you to look at verse 12, please. Therefore, many of them believed. Somebody say amen. Man, this is the dream. I got some missionary reports in my email just today, yesterday and today. Brother Pinkovich, and he reported that they had 5 souls saved this past year. Amen. And I praise God for those 5. Amen. Now listen, he's in Belarus. He's a long ways from the Bible Belt. You're talking about people who have no concept of the real gospel of Jesus Christ. And he named those people by name, and he talked about how they had preached the gospel to them, and talked about only one of them has been baptized. And they're working. They're discipling and teaching the word of God to those others. It's amazing, Brother Scott Borland. 5 people saved at their church this past year. And I praise God for that fight. You say, why couldn't it be more? Well, why couldn't we have more than that? Amen. Hey, listen, we all want more. And I'm just trying to tell you, this is the dream. Amen. They go and preach the gospel in the synagogue, and the word of God says many believed. Amen. Why did they believe? Because they received the word, and they researched the gospel. Then they received the Lord. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They responded to the gospel in faith. Therefore, many of them believed. You remember when we see the word therefore, we got to see what it's there for. Because they received the word. Because they searched the scriptures daily. Therefore, because of those things, that's why they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need, friends. We need people who will hear it and receive it and that will research it. They'll search the scriptures and then respond in faith. The Bible goes on to say there in verse 12, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So it wasn't just the Jews in the synagogue. There were honorable men and women who were Greeks who believed on the Lord as well. And so again, we get that honorable and that nobility. And again, these are people who are actually, by the world standard, honorable people, highly elevated people in the city. But when we go back to that nobility, it doesn't have to do with their status in society. He very clearly says they were noble because they received the word and searched the scriptures. And so we see that comparison. And praise God when honorable women and men believe the gospel. That's an awesome thing. That's something that's not possible with men. These honorable people were no doubt rich people. And Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. But you know what? With God, nothing is impossible. And he saves the poor. And he saves the rich. And he saves anyone who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come together, it's mostly our church family. We've had guests in almost every service for the past almost over 3.5 years. And Wednesday night we got van loads of guests because most of those kids aren't saved, and the ones who are saved, most of them aren't baptized. But I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, even Wednesday night. We have 1 or 2 guests in almost every service. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But mostly, it's our church family. But when we have special events, like when we have our Easter egg hunt, and this room is filled up with 100 little kids and a lot of moms and dads and different ones that are here, my heart's desire, when we have a group of lost people, is that many will believe. We have 1 or 2 events like that throughout the year where we end up with a lot of of unchurched people. And the reality is most of them aren't saved. And friends, this is the dream, is that the gospel be preached and many will believe. You know, and it all comes down to the heart of the listener, if they're ready to receive the word of God or not. So they received it, they researched the gospel, they responded in faith. And I love it. He says, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and men, not a few. So there were many. And look at verse 13. But, doesn't it seem like every time something good happens, there's a but? But, when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. At Thessalonica, they got so upset about the preaching of the gospel, they started a riot. And it worked so well at Thessalonica that when they heard where Paul and Silas ended up and heard that they were in Berea, they went down there to do the same thing. Hey, we started a riot here, it got rid of them. Let's go down there and start a riot, and it'll run them off there too. And so that was their purpose. But I want you to look at how wicked the heart of these Jews is. What was it that upset them so badly they wanted to start a riot? Now, we see more and more riots in America today. I want to tell you, I don't know where you guys are at, but I remember when I was a kid that if a riot happened in the United States, it was big, big news. Like, that just didn't happen. Riots were for Germany. Riots were for other places in the world. We didn't have riots in the United States. And when there was, it was a huge deal. And I just tell you, in the last 5 or 10 years, it's been crazy the amount of riots that have happened in our country. Amen. And I don't know that any of you could imagine. I've thought about it and what it would be like to be in a situation like that. When there's mobs of people and rioting and people are tearing stuff up and people are getting into fights and throwing rocks and burning stuff. Listen, that's crazy. And that's dangerous. Amen. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like when a parade is happening in town and there's 1,000 people down here and a riot starts? How dangerous that would be for you and your family? How messed up do you have to be to want to incite a riot? These people, they don't care about their community. They don't care about the safety of people. All they care about is their pride and their position. And so I just want you to get that mindset that that's what they want to do. They want to go stir up the people. They want to start a riot. They want to get a mob of people in a frenzy so that they can kill Paul and Silas. That's their purpose. But I want you to see what it was. These are Jews, by the way. When the Jews of Thessalonica, verse 13, had knowledge, look at it, that the word of God was preached. What is this horrible thing that Paul and Silas are doing? What is this horrible thing that they did at Thessalonica that they're doing now in Berea to make them so angry, to make them so violent, to make them not care about anything else but destroying them? They were preaching the word of God. Do you know what religious people hate more than anything in the world today? The preaching of the Word of God. You see, the religious people don't want the truth, and they don't want anyone else to have the truth. Do you know why millions of our Baptist forefathers were murdered during the Middle Ages? Because they preached the Word of God. Amen. And those state churches that had power did not want anyone to preach the Word of God to people. And it's no different today. Listen, if you just want to be a typical American Christian and live like the world and then go to church and have a worship experience on Sunday and go about your business, nobody cares about that. But when you start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the only way, people will hate you for it. And what's sad about it is religious people will hate you the most. You see, they had to flee to Berea But they faithfully preached the word of God, but they were followed by trouble. So when they came, they stirred up the people. Verse 14 says, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. It was about 60 miles from Thessalonica to Berea, and it was probably three times as far from Berea all the way down to Athens. So we read a couple of verses, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on in their lives in the meantime. You know, we go from one sentence to the next, and we're talking about days or weeks of travel that go on. But as the Jews come from Thessalonica to cause trouble at Berea, they leave, and the Bible says here, look at this, in verse 14, they sent Paul away Paul at, to go, as it were, to the sea. So it seems to me that they leave, and they act like they're going to go over to the sea, but then they go a different way, and they go take the journey south down to Athens. And Timothy and Silas stay there, but when Paul gets down to Athens, he sends to them and says, come with all speed, because something huge is going on down in Athens. And we'll learn about that, Lord willing, next week. We look at this tonight. There's a challenge for us to be like the missionaries, to faithfully preach the word. It ought to go without saying that we are giving the gospel to other people. There's also a challenge to be on the other side of that. When we open our Bibles to study at home, when we come to church, that we receive the word. We have a readiness of mind to receive the word of God. That we search the scriptures and that we're obedient to the things that God shows us. We respond in faith. Tonight, when we get ready for a verse of invitation, I want to ask you to stand with me, please. Does it go without saying that you and I are preaching the gospel faithfully every day? If it doesn't, then we all need to repent. When we open the scriptures here at church or at home, do we have a readiness of mind? Are we in our minds? Do we have a willingness, a desire to receive the things of the Word of God? I just pray tonight, if God's convicting your heart, we would respond to His conviction tonight while we sing.
Page 513.